This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 266. So many games! So little time! Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Pro gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another new episode of our weekly podcast. How was your week?
It was okay.
Just okay.
Well, I'm recouping from sickness.
We all are recouping.
Yeah, because I infected you.
A plague befell many in the land of Esh.
Yes.
Eshma.
A plague on both of our houses, which is really just one house with two apartments in it.
Exactly. But a plague befell our house. And, you know, it took...
Patient zero. It was like contagion.
Yes. But nobody died.
Did anyone die in contagion?
Yes.
Like, Gwyneth Paltrow was like the first one to die.
Well, she did Country Strong, so...
Are you trying to say she deserved it?
No.
But you are.
Your face says yes, but your mouth says no.
The logic makes it understandable that death would come to her after that.
What Pandalicious just said is she had it coming. So we're going to apologize now because there's probably going to be a lot of pauses as we hack up lungs, respectively, as we're both on the mend. But the fact is we are, in fact, on the mend. So we've actually been able to pay attention to some things this week.
Sort of.
Kind of. In a way that sort of, kind of, makes sense for us. So, we have some game stuff, and we have some gadget stuff, and I might have some anime stuff, because I watched a new anime this week while I was sick.
And I was watching old animes that made me wish the newer animes were like the old ones, but that's kind of my stance on it usually anyway.
That's typically most of our stances on everything. Okay, the thing that they do now is never as good as the thing back when you remember it from the day.
I don't know, because I honestly think if I go back into Sailor Moon now, I'll be like, why did I like this stuff?
No.
I don't know, I'm worried. And I'm surprised, like, of all the things in my library, the one anime that really got me started is not there. Since Sailor Moon was kind of one of the first ones that really kind of hit home for me.
Yeah, Dragon Ball. Akira the movie was my first.
But that's a movie, that's not a series.
But my first series, to be honest with you, is Voltron.
Right.
Voltron, G.I. Joe, and Thundercats, because that was my afternoon. And that's all anime.
I remember some G-Force and some weird chick on a space train.
On a space train?
Like she was a blonde.
Oh, and Silverhawks.
Oh. I was...
The guys that were all in the
There was
suits.
A chick, and she had long, long... She looks like the same animation from the Daft Punk CD that they did, that all the songs, like, intertwined together, and they were all, like, blue aliens.
Yeah.
I don't know the actual name of it, but I've seen it, like, once or twice.
Okay.
But it's that animation, and it's a chick, and she's wearing, like, this... I'm totally gonna say something slightly racist here, and I don't mean to, but she's wearing, like, that Russian fur hat thing with the muff, and she's wearing black, and they're on a space train. I think it's something train 999, or something like that. But anyway.
Galaxy Railways?
I think so. Wasn't there a 999 after that?
There might have been.
Yeah, I think that's it. Okay. But I remember seeing certain episodes of that and the G-Force, or Gatchaman.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really watch Gatchaman, but Voltron, G.I. Joe, Thundercats, that was pretty much where I was living on the cartoon side, because that was like the block right after school. It was the perfect block, because it led off with Voltron, then went into G.I. Joe, and then closed out with Thundercats, so it always closed strong.
Well, see, yeah, and I think my afternoon lineup was, I mean, I always looked for Sailor Moon at 2:30 when I got home, and I mean, I just got home in time to watch that. But I mean, that's the first series that I watched in its entirety. So I'm surprised, like, looking at my extensive collection of, you know, DVDs, that the series that really kind of kickstarted it is not there.
Like, yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, like, they've had a box set of all the Voltron episodes out, and I keep looking at it going, I really want to buy
them. I'm surprised that when I had my full-time job, I didn't buy them outright.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised at that, too, because I really thought that you would have actually had the entire Sailor series.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you can't have the entire DBZ series, because they're still doing shit.
Yeah, I know. They
need to... And Bleach is, like, ridiculous. They're still doing that.
I still wish I had my Moon Locket. I know I'm 27, guys. Don't judge me.
Dude, we've already talked about how much collectibles...
Or the wand.
How much collectibles mean. Alright, so no judgment. Alright, you're among friends. You're among friends.
Actually, I think I want the scepter. The scepter was longer.
But see, I think I've decided that I want to pick up the Voltron set, but I have to also pick up the lions. Like, all of them. And not, like, Voltron assembled, but the individual lions that I can form into Voltron.
Oh, okay.
Let's say that's what I want.
Would you actually put them together?
Yes, I would. I would have fun doing it, too.
Okay.
And then it would be on display in my office along with all my other stuff. Literally, someone came over, because I set up my stuff, my collectibles from Gears of War 3 in my office. Like, I have a dedicated corner. I moved everything else out of that corner, and I dedicated a corner to the statue and the scenery frame, and I've created a place where I'm going to put the metal, so the metal's going in next week. And a friend of mine came by the office and just looked at, wow, you really are a gamer. Like, I didn't realize it until I just looked at your office now.
Yeah, wait till I have a full-time job where I have my own office.
Because I have, like, all my collectibles. My
people are going to hate having meetings in my office.
My art books. I've got, you know, my retro poster for Dig Dug Up. And so it's, like, literally the gamer corner in my office. And I'm literally about to go and ask them to actually take out a table in my office so I can actually have a place to put whiteboards, because I've now taken up the space where I theoretically could put them with my game stuff, but they sit so perfectly there that I don't want to move them.
Okay.
So, we've got a little bit of everything for you this week. I'm actually going to kick it off because I have to talk about, you know, the gadget that everybody's talking about.
Well, those who own them. Are talking about them, and the ones who don't are bragging him. Well, not
if you haven't a clue what I'm about to talk about, which I really doubt, just to let you know, I'm making
spoiler.
A
it's the iPhone 4S. Yep, Spoilalicious is back because I just don't want her to build up such a big hype because she's already going to talk about all the great features in this phone that I presently do not have. No, I'm not bitter.
Continue. You're a little bitter.
No, I'm not. No, no. No. No.
So I do own Apple stock. So when Apple does well, my stock does well, which means my pocket does well. But this is not a paid endorsement by any way. These are my own thoughts and feelings. Blah, blah, blee, blee. You get the point. All right. So, iPhone 4S. Bunch of people said, hey, it's not a big deal. Just a minimal update, just like they did from the 3G to the 3GS. They're not going to sell a lot. It's not a big deal. It's not the iPhone 5. Which is true. It's not an iPhone 5. It is very much in the vein of the update between the 3G and the 3GS. As far as what's been updated, for the most part, very similar. But the fact of the matter is, there are some updates to the hardware that are much better improvements from the 4 to the 4S than from the 3 to the 3GS. And frankly, in my opinion, Siri alone is worth the upgrade if you're upgrade eligible for a phone, so it doesn't cost you anything extra. And they sold a shit ton of them. So, for instance, AT&T, within the first 3 days of sales, how many iPhones do you think they sold?
I don't care, because I didn't buy one.
But just, like, what do you think would be, like, 3 day sales? Would be...
A billion.
Okay, they didn't sell a billion. But they did sell a million in 3 days.
Okay.
AT&T themselves sold 200,000 within the first 12 hours.
So where did the other 800,000 come from?
Verizon and Sprint, because the phone is now available on pretty much the three major networks.
God, is this a commercial?
It's not a commercial. But if one of the networks would like to do a commercial with us and provide us with free services as a result, I'd be more than happy to do one.
And by us, she means just me. I'm the only one on the Esh circuit sans new phone.
Okay. So, but
so you only need to give us one. Or me. One.
Two, you gotta take care of Esh Mom.
She's not gonna talk about it.
She's on your plan.
She'll talk to Siri all day. Because I don't talk to Siri.
She will talk to Siri all day long.
She's like, Siri, why doesn't my daughter want to talk to me? And then Siri will be like, because you're watching too many Korean dramas on her Netflix.
Dude, evidently she watched some on my Netflix because I went down to my suggestions and it's all K-dramas. I was like, damn, when was she on my account?
I don't know, because I plugged her into mine.
So yeah,
She must have jumped out of it and it re-put your information in there.
Because, dude, like, I would literally...
She goes on your Crunchyroll, like, all the time.
Oh, dude, I keep getting, like, awards from Crunchyroll. I'm like, I didn't watch it today. And then I realize, oh, no, Mom's watching my Crunchyroll.
Yes.
Mom's on my Crunchyroll. And she's inquired about the Hulu Plus now.
I know. And I already have it, so she doesn't need it.
But back to the iPhone. So, sales have been doing really great, which I think is really interesting when you think of. It's really a interim upgrade on a device, but there are a lot of features in there that I think for a lot of people who may have been on the fence about a phone before, make sense to make the move. So, for instance, when they were talking about sales, I saw a couple of different articles in different places that said about 73% of people that were surveyed online were people that already had an iPhone that were waiting to get a hold of the 4S, which, you know, still means that, what did I say, 73? Yeah, so 27% of the people in line were new to the phone. That's a huge chunk of new people when you think about non-iPhone owners becoming iPhone owners, because they're coming from some other device or possibly some other provider to make the switch. In this economy, that's kind of huge.
Yeah.
You know, and that Sprint got the phone now, you know, opens up yet another unlimited option. I think that the landscape for better plans and competition for customers is really going to start to beef up again, because now you've got three major providers that have basically the same device. You know, you still can't do calls and data at the same time on the Verizon network. I don't know if that's the same case on the Sprint network or not, but now you really do have a choice, a provider, with the hardware. I think you'll start to see those guys get competitive again for really getting and earning your business, and I think that's just good for everyone. I haven't gone through all of the features just yet that are new on the iPhone 4S. I did end up getting the white one. Just because I thought it was sexy, and I typically alternate my phones, so I went from having the silver one to the black one, from the black one to a white one, from the white one to back to a black one, from a black one back to a white one, from a white one back to a black one, because I had to have a replacement in there for a device that went bad, and I just asked them to swap it for a white one instead of swapping it for a black one, and I smiled really, really hard, and they did. So I was due to have a white phone again, and I do like the white. It is a pure white. It's snazzy looking, to say the least. The Retina display, definitely you can see detail stunningly on it, which is amazing. I have taken a couple of pictures with the new camera, which is an 8 megapixel camera, which is an improvement on the previous phone, which was 3. I haven't done any macro shots with it yet to really see the detail, but I have compared it to a photo that I took earlier in the day on my 4 to the photo that I took of the same thing, and you can definitely see it is a marked improvement in photos.
Now, I know that you, a while back, got these little lens attachments that you can put onto your iPhone 4. Will they be able to...
Yeah, I got sent some lenses from Photo Jojo, who I absolutely love, and they built some actual physical lenses that would give you a physical 2x zoom. One was a fisheye lens, and then the other was a macro lens. Because the form factor of the phone hasn't changed, Yes.
Okay.
You can still use them. The only thing, and the reason why I probably won't put them on my phone, is that in order to put them on the phone, you actually have to put a magnetic ring so that the lenses can actually sit on that ring. And my issue is that the ring itself actually sits over the flash.
All right, then.
And because the back of the phone gets hot, the adhesive starts to spread over time. So what I think I will do probably as a test to see if they actually really increase anything on this phone is wait until I actually have a skin that I put on the back of the phone, so that way the adhesive is only running on the skin.
Right.
And that way I'm only using that ring when I'm using the skin, which will probably be at times I won't need the flash, to be honest with you. Because in order to get the lenses to sit square, you know, the ring has to sit square on top of the lens. So, but it will be interesting to play with those lenses with the new improved camera. I imagine that, especially dealing with macros, to have an actual physical macro lens may be really, really cool to add on top of, you know, this 8-megapixel guy as it is. Because you still have the issues when you're zooming in. Obviously, because you're doing a digital blow-up, you still get a little bit of artifacting. So I think it'll be interesting to play with this new camera with those lenses. So, you know, maybe we'll do a shoot one weekend and play around with that for sure. I will say that I do like the added feature that's built in now so that you can use the volume up button as your shutter button when you're using the camera, both from above the lock screen or when you're in a camera app. Which is a feature that was available in the Camera Plus application that got yanked and until they pulled it out, and then they were able to put their application back. And Apple realized that probably it makes a lot of sense, and it's a feature that people really want to use.
Well, it's better than searching and trying to grab it on your touchscreen and you then blurring your shot.
Exactly, exactly. So it makes it feel much more like a camera, especially for those people who have either gotten a skin to make their iPhone look like a Lomo, or have gotten the Hipstamatic case so that it looks like the Hipstamatic camera. It definitely will feel more like a camera because you're shooting the picture from up here on the phone rather than actually physically touching the phone. So those physical things feel really good. I find that using the headphone jack actually is much more responsive. And by that I mean I've pulled my headphones out of my phone plenty of times. The new cable actually has a double click, so you can actually feel the first click and the second click when it locks in, so it feels much better seated in there, which is cool. I've used my Apple headphones with this guy, and, you know, it sounds fine, but I haven't used my Beats by Dre headphones with it yet, or any of my higher quality headphones with it yet. So it'd be interesting to me to see if there's any noticeable difference in audio quality when using the standard headphones versus the higher quality ones, you know, because of the way that the headphone jack is designed, and supposedly with the better processor, you should be able to get some higher fidelity out of them. I've been really happy with the performance that I've gotten using my Beats by Dre headphones with my iPhone as far as music listening. So I don't expect that to change at all with this guy. I have yet to do some FaceTime with it, but it should work pretty well. What I have played with are a couple of features of things that I didn't have on my previous phone. So with the new iPhone 4S, one of the things that you get is mirroring, which means you can, through AirPlay, exactly display what you are showing on your phone on any AirPlay-enabled device, which means I can now actually show my screen from my phone on my TV because of my Apple TV through AirPlay. So I can show exactly... if I wanted to deliver a presentation, I could do that. If I wanted to show, let's say, a movie, because it's physically on my phone, I could AirPlay it. Or if I was using an application that didn't have AirPlay out, I could display the screen and show the movie on the screen. So, for instance, like the application Crackle, which is the Sony movie application that they have, that you can watch things like Step Brothers, but it doesn't have video out through AirPlay. So you would only be able to see it if you had mirroring. Right? No, even with the plug-in, it has no video out.
Oh.
So you can only watch it on your device.
Got
but
it.
Now with this mirroring option, even though it is letterboxed, you can actually watch that video. I also played a couple of audio games. I played Tap Tap, and I also played Groove Rider to see if the data stream could actually keep up and the music would keep up and keep pace. It does really well, which is very cool. So if I wanted to, for instance, do a let's play of Tap Tap, we could now actually do that and be able to capture the video from the TV. So it's very cool. It's still a little bit laggy, so it's not a perfect solution as far as like being able to start the game on your device and then play it by watching it on the TV, because there still is some lag there. And part of that is our network, but I think part of that is also, you know, in dealing with the buffer and the stream. But for the most part, it keeps really well. So you will be able to display a lot of things. I think that would be really very useful for anybody who's doing business and doing the Road Warrior thing where they're traveling. If, you know, you're worried about your battery dying, and anybody who's ever had to go someplace and give a presentation, you typically keep 4 copies of that sucker. You keep a backup copy as well as the copy you're going to run on your computer. You got a copy on a thumb drive, and then you got a copy on a disk someplace, so that if something happens to one of those other copies, you can get to them. Maybe it's in the cloud or whatever. Now you'll actually be able to, you know, keep that copy of your presentation on your phone, and as long as you have something you can AirPlay to, actually be able to display it. So, you know, for, you know, many Road Warriors, really, now all you need is a $99. Instead of buying a Pico projector, get an Apple TV for $99, bring it with your phone, it travels with you, you can create your own network, it doesn't have to go out to the internet, and you can AirPlay out to any TV. And that's a pretty damn good projector system, I think.
Yeah.
So, that's been cool to play with. It's very easy to set up the mirroring. It's actually, hidden, on the phone, I think. But just like you're used to bringing up the, applications currently running bar, as I like to call it, when you slide your finger over and you have your iTunes control, to the right, if you slide it one more time to the right, you can actually see your volume that's going on. If you're connected to Wi-Fi, you actually get an AirPlay button over in the right corner, and then you can actually choose whether or not to AirPlay to whatever devices are available on your network, or to turn on mirroring. The moment that you turn on mirroring and you've selected an AirPlay device, it shows up immediately, which is very cool. There have been some complaints I've seen from people on battery life. The biggest issue there is every application can be location aware if you tell it that it's okay to send you push notifications and it's okay for it to check your location. You're going to kill your freaking battery. It's just like Bluetooth. It pings constantly. So for those people that are noticing that it doesn't have as good battery life as your previous phone, really try only turning the location-aware things on for the things that really need to be aware of your location, and see if that doesn't affect your battery life. Because that was my big thing. Like, I have probably about 135 applications that I keep on my phone. Damn near all of them are location-aware now. And so, literally, as I was doing my updates, it's like, blah, 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 wants to know where you are, blah, 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 blah. I was like, no, no, okay. First of all, you don't need to know where I am. You don't need to know where I am. You don't need to know where I am.
Oh, wait, you're my mother. I should tell you where I am.
But I don't have my mom as an app on my phone.
I'm surprised we don't yet.
We haven't built the mom app. It's one of the things that's in development. So make sure that you go through your settings, and really only the things that need to know where you are can actually ask you. So, for instance, for me, Facebook, I don't need Facebook to know where I am all the time unless I'm using Places, which I don't do all the time. I typically do my location check-in stuff through Foursquare. So Foursquare I let look, but Facebook I don't. I don't let Instagram look at where I am. I don't let Hipstamatic look at where I am. You know, I use them all the time, but I don't need them geotagging my pictures for me, thank you. And, you know, the moment that you open them, if you leave them running, they're, you know, still checking where the F-balls you are. So that's one thing. The other thing is Notification Center, much like, you know, Dashboard on your Mac, runs all the time. So if you have a lot of things open and set to notify you through the Notification Center, that too is also going to affect your battery. So Notification Center is probably the best non-Siri update in iOS 5. I absolutely love it. Notification Center basically is the notification piece that we really should have had in iOS 4 that we didn't. So whenever you're running the phone, if you slide your finger from the top of the phone to the bottom of the phone, the notification center actually pops out. It is constantly running in the background. Mine I have set to check stocks. It checks mail. It checks the weather for me. It keeps a running list of all my calendar updates and reminders. And I have it also keep the running log of my Facebook thing, so if I miss messages. And then I can literally scroll up and down and see what's going on any of those things at any given moment. As far as weather goes, I can see what's going on for the weather for just today, for wherever I am. Or I can see what the weather's doing for the next 6 days, which, if you're traveling, is really important. But again, this is location aware. So if I go to another city, as I'm traveling, it will be pinging every tower and checking where I am and updating that. So if it's not a feature that you need, turn it off. Because otherwise, you will see that your location thing is always on, which means it's constantly pinging where the F-balls are you. So those are kind of my first, like, I spent a lot of time with things that I really enjoy. I have turned Shake to Shuffle off because I am heavy-handed, so I often grab my phone and am heavy-handed. So, yeah, there's that. I went ahead and got a hard case because I tend to drop my phone. So I got the in-case snap case. I love in-case stuff. I got the clear one so that way when I do get a skin for my phone, it will actually show through. I absolutely, absolutely love it. The phone itself, my major thing, and then I'll talk about Siri and then you can have some time. I love that I now can set different tones for my text messages.
You got tones for different area codes.
I do. And, you know, that I can have different tones for when mail comes in and mail goes out. So you really can customize how your phone sounds to make it unique to you. Because really the only complaint that I've ever really had, and it's not a complaint, it's really more of a pet peeve, is that I've been around my friends or out with our family, and just about everyone in our family now has an iPhone, so, of course, when you hear the default ringtone go off, or you hear default mail tone go off, or the default text tone go off, everybody stops in mid-sentence and looks at their phone, because they have no idea if it's if I got the text message, or you, or somebody else, so it's really nice now to be able to set my own tones that I know, more than likely, none of my friends would set, and no one in my family would set. Dude, you wouldn't set... You would not set your text message to what my text message is right now.
No, I think mine would be like, it's so fluffy! That would be mine.
Yeah. You know, and so...
I don't know, I think ours would probably be pretty close.
Ours would be fairly probably similar. Probably same movie,
different quotes.
Yes, more than likely, that's what would happen. So I've already started a list of, like, different sound effects and dialogues that I want from different movies that I need to turn into tones. So I can actually set them as things. Right now, first up on deck, Princess Bride.
Really? Okay. All right.
Because when I get when I send an email, I want it to say "as you wish."
Why?
Because I'm bidding it go. Spread my message.
You spread something.
Dirty, nasty thing. All right. So finally, the last thing. If you follow me on Facebook. And I might have even put it out on Twitter. I've been playing with Siri, which is the voice-activated system. It is an assistive system, and it actually is really quite interesting. It obviously, they spent a lot of time with Siri to give it some... almost a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done on purpose so that, you know, it would give the phone a little bit of personality and help people really kind of
because the iPhone didn't have any personality before.
Well, I mean, no, it's not that it didn't have personality, but it really didn't. You know, it's your device, okay? It's your music player, and it's your email communication center. It's a means to an end. With Siri now, because you can actually speak to it and it speak back, the way that it speaks back, you know, determines whether or not you make a emotional connection. And if you make an emotional connection, then you are going to be a brand evangelist. You are going to stand in line for 7 hours for the next phone and the next phone and the next phone. So it's smart business to do it. But a lot of people have been having fun asking Siri different questions. There have been some photo galleries that have popped up in all different kinds of places. I asked a few questions myself. I asked Siri what the meaning of life was, and the response was that all evidence seems to point to chocolate, which I can't really disagree with, because chocolate brings a lot of meaning to my life.
I would have said 42, but I'm not Siri.
Well, Siri has answered 42 for some people, so it's not the same canned answers. It's just similar answers depending on what time of day, who we were asking, all that kind of stuff. I've asked Siri if I was cute, and she responded that she couldn't answer that right now. I've asked Siri if she was Skynet, and the response I got was that we cannot answer that question right now at this moment, which was interesting to me. I've asked Siri who lives in a pineapple under the sea. At which point, Siri responded with what I imagine was probably either the Wolfram Alpha or combination Wolfram Alpha Wikipedia response with SpongeBob SquarePants' entire lineage and species classification.
Oh, wow.
So Siri is pretty powerful, but really what it's meant to do is help, you know, for things like sending text messages when you need to be hands-free, making calls, setting reminders. You can even do dictations so that you can actually write documents by dictating them into Siri. I played with that with the Pages application. It works pretty well. The better that you enunciate, the better that your document turns out.
Oh god, Boss Dorian is going to have a field day with that.
But it's pretty good. So one of the things that I was doing was making my list of, you know, movies that I wanted to grab sounds from. And so one of them was Goodfellas. And so I, you know, told Siri to add Goodfellas to the list. And instead of adding the word good space fellas, it put Goodfellas as one word and capitalized the G. So it recognized the movie title, which was interesting. So, you know, for anyone that needs any kind of assistive help with a device, it really is very helpful to be able to speak to Siri. Now, Siri can read text messages that are sent to you, but cannot yet read web pages. And I haven't tested whether or not it reads emails. I think right now it only can read incoming messages. But should those things happen through software updates, that'll be hugely helpful for, you know, especially the older generation.
And those hoochie hoes out there.
You know, because anyone that has difficulty with eyesight, you definitely benefit from Siri. So very, very cool, very interesting. Slick phone. I love mine. So yeah.
I would love mine too if I had one.
You got game stuff. What you got?
I don't have game stuff. I guess it kind of is, but it's nothing new from last week. I mean, yeah, I'm still playing Dark Souls. It can bite me. And
it has many times.
It is now no longer a happy rape session.
Wait, there's a happy rape
session? Well, Demon Souls, you know, you're going into a very painful experience, but liberating at the very end.
Oh, so kind of like going into Gaiden.
Yeah.
Right.
So, at least for me. But now it's not doing
it's not
that.
It's not a happy challenge.
I do not see the light at the end of the tunnel and the whole, you know, dawning of accomplishment anytime soon, especially for me. But I mean, playing through Dark Souls, and you know, we're in October now. We're getting closer and closer to one of my favorite holidays. Which I guess shouldn't really be one of my favorite holidays because, you know, I am approaching one of those ages where, you know, you don't do much on Halloween. You know, either you go out to a party and you get drunk or you go out to a party and you get drunk in a slutty
or
costume.
You could, you know.
Or you could stay home and get drunk. Which, you know, yeah.
Doesn't sound bad.
Not too bad, but, you know, I don't have the type of circle of friends that does a lot of active stuff. So.
Right.
I don't have a lot on the horizon, but I was thinking, you know, let me go back into my repertoire of slightly survival horror-ish games and kind of dwell on them a little bit. So I actually did venture into the land of YouTubes, and I did watch a Let's Play of one of my favorite survival horrors to date. Silent Hill 2, which I didn't even actually finish because I got so scared.
Yeah, was 2 the one where you started off and you had no weapons and you're walking through the town?
With yes,
the
you're a dude.
You're
James Sunderland.
I didn't finish that one and, either. It was spooky.
I got all
Didn't we play that one together for a while and we stopped, like, after we got into the alley and we got this stick? We're like, I finally got a stick! And I was like, all right, well,
You stopped at the stick. Okay. I continued to play, but I'd only play it at, like, 6 a.m. in the morning when the sun was up. I wouldn't, if it was even an off-cast day, wouldn't play it. Sun had to be out.
Yep, can't be overcast.
And especially because in that atmosphere, everything's overcast. But I was watching a Let's Play of that because I had seen all the endings. I mean, back in the day, I'd actually gone back to someone who had played them all and had them recant them for me. But I wanted to see the whole playthrough. And I mean, this guy went through the game pretty fast, so obviously it was not a blind playthrough. But I got to actually see the entire thing because I stopped. I'm going through an apartment, and I got some bullets and a gun. Then you go in the hall and you go into the stairwell and there's Pyramid Head staring you in the face.
Oh, yeah, no.
And you pretty much have to dodge him and shoot him so many times until he finally walks. Isn't it? I think it's 7 on shots. Oh. But actually, believe it or not, going through this playthrough, this guy hit Pyramid Head more than that, and he was on a normal playthrough. So I actually think it might have been more than that. But you can dodge him until he finally, you know, leaves the area and actually frees it up for you to leave. But I didn't make it past there because he kept slicing me in half and would kill me.
Yeah, it's never a good thing.
But I mean, watching through the rest of the game, you know, for one, you don't have nearly as many enemies in the game, and you don't even have to encounter all of them because a lot of them, unless you hit them, you know, you could run right by them as this player was obviously showing. But I still liked the atmosphere, and it was still really dark and elusive, and the really great thing about this atmosphere is that it wasn't even necessarily that. I mean, they just like to shroud the player in the unknown. You know, it's not like the whole area was dark and infested with all this demonic... It was just shrouded in fog and uncertainty, and you didn't know what you were going to stumble across.
That's, at least to me, is what's much more frightening is... Not if it's pitch black and something jumps out, because that's not really scary, because I know...
Oh, that's not true. Alan Wake scares the pants off of you, and that's...
Yeah, but Alan Wake isn't completely dark.
No, it's just things come out of pure darkness.
Exactly. Okay, but what's going on mostly in Alan Wake? Shadows and fog with spots of light.
Yes. Good point.
Fucking creepy.
Yeah, a dude in a you know, old-fashioned submarine suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a fucking scuba creepy. Suit.
Yeah. But, Scuba Steve is not your friend.
No, actually, that guy was actually a good guy in Alan Wake.
Well, I wouldn't know because I'm not playing it. But please continue.
But regardless. But I mean... So yeah, I mean, the scenery itself was not necessarily dark and evil, but just sinister and unknowing.
Right.
You know, you're just trapped in this parallel dimension, which is of your own creation, because the thing about Silent Hill is it looks different to everybody who gets trapped into it. Which, I mean, obviously, like I said, I didn't finish playing it, so I know you encounter several other characters while you're in Silent Hill, and everyone, people get summoned or drawn to the city, for whatever reason. And, I mean, in 2, you get sent because... Your character, James Sunderland, is kind of suppressing some really hard truths in his reality. You know, he did have a wife, Mary, and she died 3 years ago. And he, when he enters the Silent Hill, he's under the impression that she just died of an illness. And, I mean, you do find out later that, you know, she was, in fact, sick. But he killed her.
Oh?
Yes. And depending on how you go about navigating through the world of Silent Hill, the endings will kind of give you an idea of what his mental state was at the time that he did it. So, okay. I mean, if you answer all these certain questions right, you do get tempted by an entity that kind of looks a lot like your wife, but she's free, and she's kind of slutty and kind of has, like, a hip tattoo, and she wears a short... Yeah, she completely does not mesh in this world, so you know that she's... kind of a apparition of his mind of the Mary that he wanted his wife to be, essentially. So he kind of wanted her to be kind of hoary, okay. I guess. But if you don't really fall for any of her alluring tricks and you end up staying pretty true to the essence of your actual wife, you find out that, you know, the doctors tell you that your wife has about, you know, on a good chance has about 3 years to live, but could pretty much go at any particular time. And she goes, and she makes it to 3 years, but it doesn't look good for her, so he smothers her with a pillow. Yeah, kills her. Granted, she is no saint at all, because as she's deteriorating, she keeps pushing you away because she doesn't want you to see that happen to her. You know, and she, you know, she'll start screaming at you and you go to leave, and deep down she really doesn't want you to leave. She's no longer the way that she used to be, and she doesn't want you to see that anymore. You know, so she makes your life hell, which, I mean, I guess also in the back of his mind, he was kind of sick of having to cater to that and wanted her just to be out of the way. So, I mean, there's a lot of psychological things going on with your character, which, I mean, if I had played through, I probably would have seen more of that. You do encounter several other people in Silent Hill, too, in the world. Also, you meet a woman named Angela. I think she's about 19. Her daddy was diddling her.
What?
Yeah, she was being a... Yeah. And believe it or not, one of the enemies that you'll encounter in the game is called... I think the actual name for them was an abstract daddy. And it's because they look like a frame. I think a lot of people call them doormen, too, because they kind of look like a door. Like, they are literally like a box, like a door. Uh-huh. But they were originally called abstract daddies because their shapes would slightly change. And if you... The boss one that you encounter, if you look at it, it looks like a man backdooring somebody else, like two figures, and one's kind of backdooring, and yeah. And, yeah. But, anyway.
What?
Yeah. So the game has a really strong sexual... I don't want to say tension, because no one wants to do anybody, but there's a lot of sexual connotations and the, you know, seediness of that also plays into... this world a little bit.
Yeah, I totally did not get far enough in the game.
Yeah, because when you're fighting that abstract dad, you're actually in this room, and there are like these, I'm going to say pistons for lack of a better word, but these things are coming in and out of holes. So like, it's a disturbing image, and I mean, it's not like bloody or anything like that. It's just like, why are there these holes where things are just coming in and out? And I'm like, it plays with your head a little bit. It mind fucks you a little bit. You know, but Angela killed her father with a, you know, like, pretty much stabbed the fuck out of him. And, you know, her mother was kind of aware of it, but didn't do anything and just pretty much said it was, you know, Angela's fault that those things were happening to her. But in her Silent Hill, everything was in flames because she does kind of set the house on fire. She sets the house on fire after she kills her dad. So everything in her Silent Hill is always burning. You know, and whatnot. And and James encounters her several times and starts to piece together her reality. And it seems like other people's realities kind of shift into his. Because his is just all uncertainty and fog and kind of dark. And hers, like I said, is kind of dark, you know, burning, and everything is just crumbling around her. You do meet another character, Eddie, kind of big, fat, kind of looks kind of dumb. And, you know... he's kind of thrown up when you first meet him, and it's probably one of the most gruesome scenes that you'll actually see in the whole game. He's literally just up-chucking into this toilet, and then later James puts his hand in it. But, you know, whatever. James puts his hand in a lot of nasty shit in this game. And I'm like, and he doesn't wash his hands afterwards.
Oh! That's just nasty. Like, why are you so nasty?
Like, literally, the player was like, really, James, you're gonna stick your hand in there? And, like, there's a faucet nearby, so he's like, yep, and they don't even give you an option to wipe your hands. That's just gross.
Oh, that's just nasty.
So if the demons don't kill James, infection and bacteria will. But I liked revisiting this game. And, you know, now we're in an area where we're having a lot of, you know, advancements in atmosphere, like with heavy rain, and, you know, and I could beat that over a bush, and, you know, Resident Evil 4, because, yes, let's face it, 5 wasn't necessarily scary, really, which is why it was a lot easier to play. Right. But I like now, because we're moving into, you know, games that not only will now entice an atmosphere, but will now make the game a little bit more inclusive, like with a Kinect, like Rise of Nightmares, which has been released for the Kinect, where now it's kind of like a House of the Dead, and every movement is done by you, because you're the controller.
You were the
plugged to the Kinect.
There you go.
I haven't had a chance to play Rise of Nightmares yet, but I do know that somebody of the Esh team, you know, KBD over at B3, he actually got himself a review copy and was playing that. And I do plan to play on that soon. I did see some of that over at, was that E3 that they had that?
Yes.
Yeah. That's right, because I blacked out that night.
Yeah.
And I did walk by there, and I did get to see some actual, you know, some of the gameplay of that through the cracks of the setup, because I wasn't going to go in there because it was kind of dark and scary. But I like the idea of now making it so that you are really in control of the character. It is first-person perspective, so you really don't know what your character looks like, and you have to survive. You know, and it's, you know, if you've got something in your hand, it's a slash with your hand that leads to the motion of your character.
Okay.
You know, and if you want to run, literally, it's you leaning forward or leaning back. So, I mean, it really brings it to you. So now you have to really be in control, and it's not your hands doing it, it's your body doing it for you. So I think it brings you even more into a fear, a sense of fear and a sense of atmosphere, which I really like. And I'm really looking forward to playing that. Probably won't do it on Halloween.
Yeah, I don't recommend it.
I probably won't, but I was really amazed to see that they're already planning to go that route with a Kinect, you know, with a sensory, you know, object. I don't know what the word is. I'm looking from peripheral. Yeah, that word. I'm glad to see that, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they'll implement that in, like, a Resident Evil scenario, or maybe even bring it into a Silent Hill. Like, I mean, I'd like to see that. Like, maybe the game be able to detect what type of games that you play in terms of survival horror, and then try to mesh those all together and create your Silent Hill.
That would be interesting. That would be really interesting.
Like, if it could pull that data. Like, if you play a lot of survival horror, be like, oh, they've made it through so much of this type of game, so we know that they're... And then throw something that might not be your strong suit in a survival horror. Because, I mean, I know for me, I don't have a problem with...
Well, I mean, you know, it would be easy to do if you were doing something like, you know, creating an account for any of these games, so that way it would be able to track through your account. Okay, well, Pandalicious has played Silent Hill, blah, blah, Silent Hill, blah, blah, Silent Hill, blah, blah. But Pandalicious is also, there's game save data for this horror and this horror.
Oh, God, she played Fatal Frame? Oh, God.
Okay, so then we know that you play this a lot, and you particularly play games where, you know, contrast is a major element, and this is a major element, so then maybe it dials those elements up more.
Maybe. That'd be something interesting. Like, I'd like, you know, like they said, they like to...
A learning profile would be interesting.
I mean, they like to hype up the fact that this realm of Silent Hill, you know, looks different for everybody. So then why wouldn't a Kinect game of a Silent Hill nature wouldn't do the same thing? Like, I'd feel that that'd be a really great way to go in terms of that. Because then everybody's experience would be relatively different, but still the same.
Well, you'd be experiencing the same story, but how you experience it would be different.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think would be great.
That would be very interesting. It would be a very interesting mechanic.
I mean, I don't know how they would implement something like that.
I have no clue, but...
But that'd be a great premise to start on.
Absolutely, absolutely. That would be really interesting. As far as I go on the game side of things, it's mostly just releases that are getting ready to come out, and releases that have, you know, Forza 4 dropped this week. I haven't picked it up yet because, frankly, I haven't really been into racing since Project Gotham.
I haven't been into racing since Wave Race 64.
Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't even do Mario Kart?
Not really. I bought it for the Wii, and I played it once with Eshmon, but then when she was beating me, I was like, fuck this game.
Aw, you put it down because Eshmon was beating
me. Because she always took the good wheel.
There's a bad wheel?
She got a bad wheel. Like, you know the wheel that they strip you with? Oh, it's a little circular wheel, that's great. And then she's, and I didn't like playing with just the... I'm like, it doesn't feel like a wheel to me. So I'm like, oh, we'll go get another one. So, of course, we go to, like, BJ's warehouse. Where they've got the crappy bundle stuff, so it's like a U. So it's not even a full wheel. And I was like, I'm not playing with the crappy wheel. And she's like, well, I'm not playing with the crappy wheel. And I'm not playing. And I haven't picked it up since.
You can't be as...
No! But regardless.
Just because there's one game. One game no. that Eshmom wins at.
I mean, I guess if I really want to go into it, I mean,
my any birthday's coming up.
I know. The big 6-0.
Stop saying that.
Yeah, big 6-0.
She's gonna listen the to big one 6-0. Of these days.
But and unless the game that I played recently had a racing element into it, like where, oh my god, like L.A. Noir, like, oh my god, get the bad guy. I mean, that's the only time I've seen a car in a video game.
Yeah, no, I love Project Gotham Racing, and since, you know, Bizarre is no more, which still makes me really sad, I really haven't been down for racing for a while. I haven't really been all that enthused about Gran Turismo, and you know, back in the day, I was a Gran Turismo nutcase.
If I didn't, I do now.
I had a custom wheel and pedal set, you know, that you had to mount to a table,
because
it was heavy duty, and it had force feedback.
Yep, I remember.
So if you took a curve too hard, it would actually fight back against you. But Forza 4 looks good. I mean, everything that I've seen, it looks phenomenal. I haven't been like, oh, I need to play a racing game. Like, I'm not there anymore.
I mean, if you really want to play a racing game, you can always just, you know, fight fate and, you know, illegally race.
No, because I don't want a ticket.
And then you run from the cops.
I know. I'm not running from the popo. I don't know if you remember or not. We're black.
We're black?
Yes. Oh, shit. I forgot to tell you.
What?
Didn't you get the memo?
What? Oh, well, I need to start reading these.
You should really read your phone. Totally.
Oh, my God. I did not realize that I was Negro. QQ. Just kidding.
So, really, I've been focused on, you know, stuff coming around the corner. For November, there are some more things that are happening, but, frankly, I really haven't been paying attention to most of them. You know, we've got another FIFA game coming. Obviously, you got Arkham City, which I need to put money on now, because I haven't
even played I think I played maybe an hour, or maybe 2 hours
I didn't finish.
And the only reason why I think I fell out of that game was because I kept playing with my, like, bat vision on, or whatever that thing was called, so I could see shit, and I'm like, the game looks gorgeous. I'm like, but if I'm going to sit here in this vision all the time, there's no point in the visuals being all that appealing. I'm not going to be looking at them.
Well, you weren't supposed to stay in that all the time.
But how else am I supposed to fight if I can't see shit?
You've got
to
feel it. You're the GD Batman.
See, no. If they want to play a blind hero game, freaking do Daredevil. At least the dude was actually blind.
I don't want to play a Daredevil game because I'll probably get Ben Affleck to do the voice. And so
His raspy voice is a little bit more believable than Christian Bale's.
Well, yeah, that's...
By, like, a skosh of, like, four. So not even by that much, but still, easily.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, in the rain I can see. No, you can't.
Yeah.
No, you can't, Ben Affleck. You can actually still see. Your eyes are real, and they work.
Yeah, I don't believe
it. Let's not play that game.
But really, Arkham City is the only thing that I'm really waiting for the rest of October, because...
You're not waiting for Sims 3, the pets?
No.
Really?
I'm really not.
Not looking forward to washing those digital dogs?
No.
Me neither. Not at least. I don't even want to wash our real dog.
Really, which has to happen because
she's stinky.
She smells like ass. But I am looking forward to Arkham City, which...
You're not looking forward to Skyrim?
Here's the thing. Skyrim looks great, alright?
I'm sensing a dramatic butt here.
No. Okay, here's the thing. Alright, I loved Oblivion. Alright? Skyrim looks awesome.
Dragons, dude! There be dragons!
I know there be dragons. Okay? But here's the deal. I can't play every game, alright? There's some that you're just gonna have to take lead on. Because But I don't have the kind of time to do Skyrim right.
See? You've got the money and no time, and I got all the time but no money. If we fused together, we'd be the absolute perfect person.
But we can't. Here's what's on deck, alright? This is what we have to remember. Arkham City, Uncharted 3.
Oh my god, you'll actually be turning on your PS3!
Rage. Gotta pick that up, too. Saints Row the Third.
I already have money on Saints Row the Third.
That's
gonna happen.
But, alright, so, and we're still just in the middle of November as I'm saying these things. So, Revelations, Uncharted 3, Arkham City.
When are we getting our Mass Effect? When are we getting our ME3?
Shit, I don't even remember when ME3 comes out. It's after holiday, I think.
Okay.
It's not during holiday, all thank right. God. I don't think, but I'd have to look it up. Oh, and can't forget GoldenEye, the reboot.
Oh, that didn't already come out?
GoldenEye 007?
Right, I remember GoldenEye. It was like the most awesome game.
The Xbox 360 or the PS3. Yeah, that drops November 4th.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Golden Magnum. One shot kill. Bang. Man, what a cheap ass game.
Then you got Skyrim. Then, you know, I mean, there's just so many games. I can't play all the games. Play all the games?
Man, if I had the money to buy them all, I would play them all forever.
So I'm focusing. Batman's the next one on deck that I'm gonna try and spend some time with. Because to be fair, when November hits, I have no idea how I'm gonna play.
You won't. I'll be playing some of them for you on your account.
Because seriously, November is just stacked.
It's a brick house.
It's a brick fucking house.
It's Mighty Mighty. She's just letting it all hang out.
It's just letting it all hang out. All of it.
November is stacked.
Yeah, like, I can't do any work on the weekend because I have to game on the weekend. Have to.
I know, I have to wake you up early. Like, you got a game. No. Yes.
I don't want to get up. Come on.
Yep,
come on.
You got it.
The Xbox is already on.
It's on. All you have to do is put on your Astros.
Look, here's your Lucky Charms and your amp. Now, come on.
Let's go. Breakfast of Champions.
But yeah, November's stacked, and you don't even want to think about, you know, December and...
I don't want to think about any of those months.
I'm just saying. Just freaking saying. It's all going down. So, as far as my game stuff, I'm just telling you guys, make sure that you're doing all your stretches. You know, work your thumbs out, because...
Yeah, be careful so you don't get gamer claw.
You don't want the claw...
Because you know how hard it is to eat popcorn with Gamer Claw?
It's really difficult.
So if you're going to get Gamer Claw, make sure you have a manturage.
Yep.
Or somebody who's not an active gamer so that they can feed you.
Yeah. You just...
Or you could just puree shit and drink it from a beer hat.
Yeah. You could do that. I mean, you know, especially if you've got the right, you know, you got big enough tubes.
Yeah. Get big tubes.
You should have big tubes. Don't go on the cheap. Get the big tubes.
Yep.
So, yeah. That's our advice. So, we did Gadget, we did games, we're out of time for...
That's alright.
Well, we can squeeze one in. We can
No, squeeze. Because your squeezing is actually...
No, it's gonna be squeezed. And it'll be one that we can both talk about. Ride Back.
Awesome. I saw it years ago.
Yeah.
They
finally put it on Netflix, so I actually caught it. I gotta say, basically the story is about this girl who's driven to be a prima ballerina because her mother was... basically the nation's star prima ballerina, and she died young, and so the daughter was following in her footsteps. Her name's Shuko
or something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, she's performing and she's doing a fantastic job until her ankle goes out.
No, she gets through the dance, but as she's doing the dance, you see it. She's talking. And her narration is actually from beyond that. And then she's like, and then the injury came.
Yeah.
And the injury makes it so that, you know, she could still walk and she could still function, but she can no longer dance.
Well, she can no longer dance the way she wants to
dance
in order to follow in her mother's
She can't do it.
She believes she cannot dance at that level anymore, so she walks away from dance.
Think Julia Stiles from Save the Last Dance.
Yes. Exactly.
I can't dance because my mom died. Wah! I'm Julia Stiles. Give me awards. And that is my best impersonation of Julia Stiles.
So anyway, so Shuko goes off to school. And she's rooming with her best friend.
Roomies!
And is just having a life and trying to figure out what she's going to focus on. And through... Just a happy happenstance of a situation. It's raining. She doesn't have an umbrella. She sees a garage up ahead of her, so she ducks in because she's wearing a white dress. So I guess she doesn't want to participate in a wet t-shirt contest.
A wet dress contest.
So she basically stops and takes refuge in this garage, meets a guy who's working on what you think is a motorcycle at first. Then you realize it's not.
Transformers, more than meets the eye.
It's a ride back, which is basically a hybrid robot motorcycle.
It's like a weird half mecha because you don't get into it, you kind of ride on its back.
Yeah, because it looks like a Ninja Honda,
which
but
is what, you know, the ride back, because yeah, you ride on its back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You're like piggybacking.
Yeah.
This giant robot.
And so it goes from being, you know, two-wheel, the regular formation of a motorcycle, to a, you know, biped robot form that you're, you know, still riding on the back of. And basically, the anime takes you through her story and her newfound passion for ride back and her ability to actually do it right off the bat and be awesome at it. It has
something to do with her dancing. Her dancing made it so that she'd be able to
with her dancing and her drive. And then, you know, weird shit starts happening. What I loved about the series was that it, you know, again, had a good balance of sad, tragic to funny. Because there were some light moments with, you know...
Well, her, yeah, of course. But then there were a couple
there
of moments...
There were some really sad fucking moments.
There were some moments,
you know,
in her dialogue, her mental dialogue with her, like, on the ride back. There are a couple times I'm like, are you going insane on me a little bit?
Yeah, and it made you question. It really did make you think. The animation style is gorgeous. Reminds me very much
has of... Has a great opening song, Ride Back by Mel. I have it.
It has a fantastic style. It kind of reminds me of, you know, a quality of a Clannad, but not as detailed. So it's gorgeous to watch. The mechas are obviously, you know, done in 3D, but it doesn't feel out of place. It doesn't feel like a weird mishmash. It kind of reminds me of, just a little bit more detailed Blast Rider in as far as its look and its feel.
I think a mellowed Blast Rider, yeah.
Right, because they're not everything is blowing up all the time.
Yeah.
Just some of the time.
And it's not like she's, it's not her form changing like in Blast right. Rider. She's just jumping on this. It's actually weird. Her attraction, and I'm going to say attraction to the ride back and the way that she feels empowered when she's riding it.
Yeah.
And doing all the tricks and whatever while she's fighting whatever she's fighting. There's an episode of a very old anime called Golden Boy. I don't know if you ever watched it.
No.
Okay. Well, it's this guy. He's kind of a jack of all trades, and he just jumps into jobs. And there's
isn't
always
that a hentai?
Kind of. It's etchy. It's etchy for its time, but I think now we'd consider it a hentai because there's a lot of T and B in there. Tits and blush. Just in case you didn't know. But there's an episode where he actually meets a chick who likes her motorcycle, and she really likes her motorcycle. Like, she only gets off on the motorcycle. But, and she won't acknowledge men who can't ride as fast as she does. So, like, she actually had that weird monologue, mental monologue in that episode. Almost kind of to the same level as the main character does in Ride Back. So whenever I listen to her monologue, I always think back to that anime. And it always gives me a really awkward feeling when I'm done watching it. I'm like, she's really getting into that Ride Back. Like, like, I don't know if I should be watching this.
I feel like this is a personal moment between you
it's like,
and
I'll just
right.
give you a minute.
Like, go ahead.
More or less. But it is available on Netflix, so you can go and give that a, you can give that
yeah,
a viewing.
Yeah, the whole series is there. I definitely say it's worth a watch. It is more than meets the eye. It's not what you expect it to be. Or at least it wasn't what I expected it to be. I thought it was just going to be, you know, an action mecha all the way through. And it's not. It's a thinking piece, and it's beautiful. I really...
If you really want to think of an anime, watch Elven Lead.
Ugh.
Which I watched certain episodes, like I did a random, like, Russian roulette. Bad idea in
Elven
Lead.
Don't Russian roulette Elven Lead.
Bad
ever.
Idea. Because then you get one episode thinking it's one thing, and then you see kids bludgeon a puppy. And I'm like, I forgot that happened in this anime. mind you, and they're hitting the dog, and I'm like, I have a puppy, you assholes.
Yeah, just don't rewatch Elf and Lee, dude.
No, I loved Elf and Lee.
I enjoyed the ride the first time through. I can't watch it again. Like, the episode where, you know, the one with the 37 arms
comes out. Number 35.
Yeah, thank you. Is meeting her father, and, you know, he's, like, protecting the other thing. She's like, Daddy, why don't you love me? Why don't you love
me? No, that whole monologue where she's like, I've been waiting to meet you, and this is what you do. And then bitch! You want it? You kill for fun.
Right, and then he finally is like, I'll never leave you again. And he, like, picks up, he's like, oh, Daddy, I love you. And then he sets off the bomb.
No, he doesn't. They walk off, and the other guy, he's like, just do it. And the guy's like, really?
Because he told him to set the bomb off, so he knew he was going to pull the fuck up.
No offense. I think she should have known that was coming, and if she really wanted
to stay... She did know it was coming.
Yeah, so she just wanted to blow up with her dad. So you know what? That is the biggest amount of quality dad time that you're going to get. Especially in Elf and Lee.
Dude,
come on.
This is what I'm saying.
Half the people have no parents.
I know, but that moment was because they killed them.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And if they didn't, somebody else did.
Okay. All right. So I was like, oh, first I felt bad because I was like, how could she do that? She just wanted to meet you. You're her fucking father. And I'm like, oh, wait. No, I remember.
No, remember how psychotic it is?
Yeah, I remember. That's why. Okay. No, don't go near her. And then she's crying and then you feel bad. You're like, I just wanted to meet you, Daddy.
And then
you're talking about the mom, and then you see the flashback with the mom. And just don't. Then, one time through. That's really all you gotta do. Just one time. No, then appreciate it from afar. You know, it's like a Monet. You appreciate it from afar.
No. Monet's far away, they're so beautiful. Up close, big mess.
That's what Elf and Lee is.
No, it's not.
Far away, it's really
not
beautiful.
A big mess because it's all red. That image is painted red. No point for any other color in that series.
So, anyway, Ride Back, definitely worth a watch. Especially if you have Netflix. Check it out. I'm giving, you know, again, the iPhone 4S. I love mine. I'm glad that I got it. I'm really enjoying Siri, and I actually find it to be useful and fun. So the other features are just, you know, bonus on top. iOS 5 is probably the strongest OS that I've seen Apple come out with, especially if you have an iPad, the cracked keyboard now, so you can type with your thumbs on the side, really makes messaging a little bit easier, to deal with. It definitely makes social media stuff easily, accessible.
Social media?
And Pandalicious says spooky stuff is, for the win.
Slightly spooky stuff for the win.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be super scared, but I want to be scared just enough.
Right. You don't want to...
Like, spooky light. Light on the... Spooky is prevalent, but not overabundant in the spooky.
Right.
Yes.
I think we got it.
Well, because it's Halloween time.
Right.
In November, I'm going to read Praise and Turkey. Mm. And thanks. Turkey. I'm giving thanks.
Turkey.
And stuffing.
Stuffing.
I'm going to... talking the shit out of stuffing. You'll be so stuffed with stuffing, you won't know what to stuff with stuffing.
Alright, so with that said, make sure that you check out the stuff that we write on our website, and keep up with all the things going on with us at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
esh.co, that is esh.co, the short address will bounce to the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within a week. Any questions or comments should go to mailbag@landofesh.com. We are available on iTunes, so check us out there.
That's right. You can go into the iTunes Music Store or the Zune Marketplace and search for Electric Sisterhood. We'll pop up, and once you click that beautiful little subscribe button, you will be sure to get every episode of our podcast the moment that we make it available on the internet, which trust us, you want to do, because we say some funny shit. And if you don't want to do the subscribe thing...
you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But if you're doing that and you're looking for us, you should look for the other people who fly underneath our banner.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. We started it, but it grows and it grows. So while we have new episodes that are available of our podcast on Monday, you can follow that up on Tuesday with brand new episodes of the Boston Bastard Gay Podcast, which is hosted by our homeboy King Baby Duck. They talk about games, gadgets, theater, music, pop culture, just about anything worth talking about, really, they'll talk about. We highly recommend it. On Wednesdays, you can follow that up with the Geek Aggro podcast, which is hosted by our boy Deuces Wild, where it's all about gadgets and PC games, as well as console games, and other shizzle dizzles as well. And for the rest of the week, keeping your nerd herd under control, there's all the stuff that we talk about, again, on the respective websites, which you can find in one place if you want, at thelandofesh.com. You can also cop a brand spanking new copy of our latest issue of our magazine, which I highly recommend, with a new issue that will be coming shortly. We're working on it. We've got the pieces. It's pretty cool. Then there's the Facebook, where you can ask us questions and interact with us and make suggestions for us to check out stuff if you want to hear about it. That's facebook.com/landofesh. Then we're on the Twitters, we're on the Flickers, we're on the Tumblrs, we're all up in your tubes. Seriously, we are. If you want to see the entire crew for the Land of Esh, hit up my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list. I think that's all the ways that you can connect with us.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all the tubage.
Yeah.
Because we're all up on the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Yeah.
So what shit you digging this week, Panda?
I am digging Space Channel 5.
Oh, part 2?
Yep. Sweet. Part 2, because I sucked at part 1. It was available on the Xbox Arcade, and I think also PSN, but I got it for the Xbox. And it is the game that I go to after I want to beat my PS3 because I'm sucking at Dark Souls so much.
It's your happy place.
It is the happy place game, and it brings me back to a state of euphoria, and then I go, I don't want to ruin my mood today, so I'm not going back to that piece of shit Dark Souls. It can suck my ass. What are you digging? Are you digging this week?
My iPhone.
Of course you are. Why even fucking ask?
Siri's awesome.
I bet she is.
You want to ask it
again? No.
Well, as always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out of here this week.
Bye.